CliffCentral.com.
Right, let me tell you something important. What are the most critical requirements for companies in today's business environment? Ben, do you know? Come on.
Sure, Gareth. It's stopping corruption.
No.
No, okay. I don't think.
Communications and technology, of course. And who better to deliver this to you than iConnect Telecoms? From internet connectivity to voice and cloud platforms, the latest IT solutions and more, iConnect ensures maximum uptime and productivity with more reliable connectivity and the necessary support and backup. Okay, Ben, I'll ask you a question you can't answer. Since we had iConnect here in the office, have you had any internet connection problems, and have you not had terrific download speeds?
For the last, yes, without doubt.
Amazing, right?
There used to be a phrase in the office here is your internet broken?
Yeah, and now that never gets
never,
uttered.
Never heard
no,
of
it says that anymore.
No one ever says
it. iConnect is your answer, all delivered by a single solution provider. Go to iConnectsa.co.za for more info. That's iConnectsa.co.za. The one provider to manage all your communications. iConnectsa.co.za. You'll thank me when you've tried them. They are the best. Right, it is time for our special guest for this morning, somebody who I have thought of having in here in the studio for many, many months already, and I'm delighted to see her. She looks magnificent and resplendent and glorious, just like her music. She is none other than the great Zonke. Hello, Zonke. How are you? Look at you. Look at you. Wow.
Can I just
wow,
add?
Wow, what an intro.
No. Straight away, and you smell incredible.
Thank
like,
you.
You come in here and change.
What is that?
Gareth arrives here with like barbecue chicken and citrus fruit, which I've had to stomach for the last hour.
I never
and
tell now, what I'm wearing because I'm worried that the person who's asking me is going to go and get it for their girlfriend,
okay,
or for their wife.
All right, don't say
so. I'm
just
not going to say.
Just please come back every morning for 10 minutes. Just walk around and then leave.
Just to kind of disguise the smell of chicken and barbecue chicken.
Plus we could just do with a little more female energy this morning. I've been surrounded by Flax and Ben.
No,
Pashida's there. Pashida's
there.
I know you are, sweetheart, but you're the only
Guys,
one.
What are you doing wrong?
And Verona's here too. That's
Rona.
Fair enough. All right. Enough of you two. All right. This is about Zonke. Let's focus on the, on the important things. Now, first of all, you are on like a constant upward trajectory. It doesn't seem to me that anything knocks you down. It doesn't seem to me that there's ever been a moment in your career where you haven't been improving on the previous year.
Funny you should say that, Gareth. I always say it seems that my self-destruct button doesn't work.
Good. Long may that continue.
It's there. I see it. But, you know, whenever I try to press it, it just doesn't work. No matter what happens, I just cannot find myself curling up in a corner and dying. No matter what it is, it could be family problems, it could be problems in the industry where everybody feels that, oh, the industry has gone down.
It has.
I never say such things. You know, I never allow myself to think like that because I feel like whatever I say, if I say the industry has gone down,
it'll happen.
Mm. You know, so I never feel any of these things. And I guess that's what happens when you are on your own. I feel like I've built my own road.
Right.
Where everybody's busy competing in their lanes, because when you are in lanes, you're busy running, but you can't help but look back.
Right.
Like, has somebody, you know, caught up with you?
You don't do that.
I don't do that. I don't have time for that. You know, I'm only competing with myself, competing to better myself and to make sure that each album that I put out is better than the last. That's all I care about.
You know, we've met a couple of times. We've spoken a couple of times. I've been to some of your shows. Mm-hmm. We've never really had a proper interview, though.
Yes. No, never.
So this is quite cool because although you've been in the industry now successfully for so many years, there's so much about you that we don't know.
Yeah. To me, I don't have the personality to just be out there, you know, too much. Even if I wanted to, if my team said, you need to be out there more, I'd probably say that's the one thing that I'm not going to do. I just don't have the personality to be.
You don't go to events.
yeah, I've been.
Red carpet things, awards. You kind of fly under the radar.
I've always been like that, though, eh? It's not because I got into the industry and then I thought, okay, let me just pull back a little bit. I've always been like that, and I've always known what kind of artist I wanted to be. Sade, to me, has always been my inspiration.
Oh, isn't she great?
I don't know anything about her, so I find myself looking for her in her lyrics.
Yeah.
So, as a matter of fact, everything she says, if she says, my love is taller than the Empire State, I believe her. And I'm like, goodness, how lucky is this man that's with this woman? You know what I mean?
That's a an amazing thing you just said, that her, you try to find her in her lyrics.
In her lyrics. Because I don't know anything else about her. I don't feel the need to know where Sade goes, what she does. You know what I mean? I want to believe her in her music, and I already do. So I feel like that's why Sade can just release music every 9 years and we queue up to buy her albums in numbers. Yeah. Because we know nothing about her, we look for her in the music. And that's me.
And that's
me. The less you know about me, right, the more you'll be interested in the music. The more you love whatever I put out, you'll find me there in the music.
And the less you're going to be distracted by all the other rubbish,
exactly,
which we know doesn't last.
Doesn't last. It never does. People don't learn. That's the thing. Do not chase the limelight. Let it find you.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Like, yeah.
No, I mean, how can I disagree with that? That makes a whole lot of sense. Okay. So you started off, you were born in PE.
Yes.
You obviously went to school there and yes, all the rest, and you decided to come up to Joburg.
Yes. That was 20 years ago, though. I don't look it.
No, we're going all the way back here.
Yes. So I was born and raised in PE. My father was a musician. My mom was a medical technologist. But she loved music. So the writing comes from mom's side because she wrote short stories and sketched a little bit. So very artistic in her own right. Loved music, really, really, really loved music. Hence, she fell in love with my dad, who was, the city or township heartthrob. Very handsome.
Oh, really? So you get the looks from him as well, huh?
Both my parents, because wow, my mom was like the beauty in that neighborhood.
She's
you know,
the prom queen.
Yes, you know, she won beauty pageants and yeah, stuff like that, you know, coming from a very educated family. And my dad was opposite, you know, quite poor. Never really went to school, used to bunk school, primary school and high school, so he could go teach himself how to play drums. So my dad was the first and only, was the only musician in that time in the family. So there was nobody else who was a musician. So he had this need to play music and play drums. So when I was growing up, it was natural, it was normal for me to see my dad and his friends coming to finish my granny's food. And my grandmother was always so upset, you know, kind of side-eyeing him like, why are these guys here? You know, if you guys going to eat in my house, you should at least buy the food. You know, you have all these
friends. Were these just friends of his or were these musician friends?
The band. It was his band. Right. So they would come and rehearse at my granny's house. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe because she's an old woman, you know, she was not going to complain about food, at least not in front of their faces. She would only complain once I've left, you know. So it was the easiest thing to do. And so growing up in that kind of environment, I thought everybody's household was like that. Everybody's father was a musician. Everybody's, you know, household was full of musicians coming to rehearse. So I knew that this is what I was going to do. So I didn't know anything else.
Because that's often for musicians, that's the toughest thing, is to realize that that's what they want to do. If you say that for you, it was just obvious. It was something.
It was so obvious. I didn't know anything else.
Wow.
I really, really didn't know anything else.
Did you know you were talented?
No, I don't even think I cared at that point. To me, it was like, oh, okay, this is what everybody does. I'm just going to do this. I didn't even think about it, actually. Huh. I know that a lot of people in the industry, find music maybe, you know, once they've, had a taste of the corporate world and they find that, okay, no, I can't do this anymore. Music is the easy way out. For some, it's an easy way out. For some, it's the only way out. For me, it's all I knew. You know, I've never had a so-called proper job, a serious
nine to
job
five,
in
yeah,
my entire existence.
That's so fantastic.
Not even as a teenager, where maybe I would go get a job just to buy myself
like
a pair
piece
of
job,
shoes or yeah, buy myself toiletries. I didn't have that. Music is all I know.
But that also, that lights a fire under you, because you know if that's all you've ever got and that's all you ever
yes,
had,
so
that you better be the best at it.
Exactly. For me, having a plan B was the best thing to ever happen to me.
Not having a plan B.
Not having a plan B, because I put 100% into what I'm doing.
Yeah, I can see that you're the sort of person who's very determined and single-minded about these things. And you also spent, I mean, did your dad not, you moved in with him here in Joburg?
Yes, my dad left PE. I was still in school, still in high school.
Your parents separated?
Yes, separated. Okay. I think I was 3 when my parents separated.
Wow.
So I don't know what it's like to have two parents in the same house.
Right.
You know, but my mom did such an incredible job, because We were never promiscuous. We're not the kind of kids that would want to go partying or wanted the latest clothes. You know, none of that stuff. It was just about school, coming back home, lock myself in. All I'm doing is just, you know, the neighbors could hear me sing and just throwing out mats. As I'm busy cleaning the house, all they could see is just the door opening and the mat flying out and the door closing. You'll always see me
again. So you
kind
of kept to yourself, huh?
I've always been like that. So how I am in the industry, it's not because I'm
aloof,
antisocial,
or full of yourself.
Or full of myself.
That's just how you are.
It's just how I've been. Those who went to school with me would tell you that I was not even allowed to go and cross night. You know what I mean? Where you go and study with a group for your matric exams.
Yeah.
I was not allowed to do that. I studied that alone at home while other people were studying in groups. And
how many of you would you have brothers and sisters?
We don't have any sisters. It's just four girls.
Wow.
You don't? No brothers.
No brothers.
No brothers.
Okay.
Just four sisters.
Wow. And you are the youngest, oldest, somewhere in the middle?
I'm the third born.
Okay.
And the last born is here with me, Asanda.
Okay.
Yes. So yeah, that's been my life. So, and then I joined my dad in Johannesburg. I went to Bloemfontein first. My mom moved to Bloemfontein with my auntie.
Mm-hmm.
And, I went there to study human resources management. And I knew it was just for me to be able to say, I went to school.
But hang on. So your mom pretty much raised you girls.
Yes.
On her own.
Yes.
I mean, your dad had already left.
My dad was busy chasing his dream, spent most of his life in Cape Town because Cape Town was more alive musically in those
absolutely
days.
Absolutely.
You know,
right.
So he was actually known as Viva from Cape Town, and not from Port Elizabeth.
And these amazing session bands there, and
yes,
you get people who do performances at like nightclubs.
Exactly.
So there's a lot more music tradition there.
In Cape Town. So he loved it there because he could perform. Actually, the neighbors, we didn't have a TV in my granny's house. There was no TV. There was no radio. There was no electricity. So the neighbors who had a generator and a black and white TV would always come and knock. Your dad is on TV. So we would always wait for that knock on the door and would go and see my dad. And there was like a show. I think it was like an hour's show or something. I can't remember what it was called. I was very young.
Uh-huh.
So we'd go and sit on the floor there in the neighbor's house and watch my dad. He was the lead singer. But a drummer. So he would sing from the back.
Wow.
You know, so
that's a hard double act to do.
I know. He had a great voice too, you know. And I remember thinking, wow, is that my dad? You know, sometimes, you know, his face wouldn't be so familiar to me because he would leave. I'm a certain age and then come back. I'm a certain age. And then, you know what I mean?
So did you keep contact with him through all that time?
Yeah. I mean, he would call every once in a while. Whenever he would come, I remember one time he came back. I think it was about, 8 or maybe 10. And I see this, handsome man, you know, in my uncle's house. And I'm, you know, sitting there watching TV with my, cousin. And he comes in and asks, where's your dad? And, my cousin says, oh, he's at work. He'll be back at a certain time. And, he says, okay, I'll just sit and wait. So I'm sitting there watching TV and my cousin says, aren't you going to say hi to your dad?
Huh? Did you freak out?
I did. I remember looking at him and squinting like, is it really you? Imagine that kind of stuff. And I think what hurt me the most was the fact that it's not me not recognizing him. It's the fact that I realize now that he also didn't recognize me. Imagine. He also didn't recognize me, you know?
But then it's kind of a nice story that you ended up staying with him in Joburg.
Yeah.
Because you could reconnect with him. Obviously, the two of you had this music in you.
Exactly.
Right? Which is the thing that he handed you in your genes.
Exactly.
And it's something that obviously brought you two back together.
Mm.
But did you feel like you were almost betraying your mom by coming to live with him? I mean, was there ever a feeling like that? Did she ever say to you, oh, you know, you should really not rather try to?
No. Hey, wow, the questions you ask. You know, it's funny because when parents separate, you know, there's this kind of animosity that you sense as children.
Yeah.
Even if they don't want to admit.
Absolutely.
You know, and my mom
pick
is
up
always,
on the energy, right?
Yeah, my mom, you know, was always upset about the fact that, you know, I had to, you know, work hard and, you know, support four girls who really, really needed their father.
Mm.
But my granny and my mom would say, thank God. It's funny. These girls were never any trouble because the minute my parents or my father or my mom or my granny would say, we're going to tell your father, that was enough. Whether we knew him like that or not.
Right.
he was the stuff that was used to scare us. You know, like, Viva is coming. He'll be here next week. And then 2 years would pass. It's still not here. 3 years would pass. Still not here.
But you would behave.
But we would behave. You know, so, you know, but so he was there. I remember him as a child, you know, he would, when the, we're still, when it was still the three of us, my, before the, my sister was born, and he would put all of us on his back. Uh-huh. So those are the, all the things that I would remember and hang on to. So I never had any resentment for my father because I remembered, you know, how great he was when we were kids, when we were, he was around. And, you know, we understood that he loved this music. And he really wanted, he meant to do right by us. He meant to work and, you know, and buy us things. But coming back to your question, my mom, no, he was, she was quite happy when I said I wanted to come live with my dad in Joburg. She called him and said, it's your turn, you know, so, so she was fine, you know, and she and I had been very close. I'd spent all my time with her. And she was
weren't you a bit of a buzzkill for your dad? I mean, he was living here. He was probably having a great life as a musician. He was kind of independent, doing his thing. He hadn't got remarried, had he?
He had.
There was another woman in his life. All right. So
yeah, he had kind of. It's funny. This woman was always there because I remember her as a kid.
Oh,
remember
really?
Remember, my parents had separated when I was about three.
Right.
So I remember this woman, and this was Annalene.
Uh-huh.
You know, Annalene, my label from Joy.
Right.
You know, they had that big hit, Paradise Road. Yes.
Of course.
So I remember her as a child. You know, coming
it's
to
your dad's
my,
girlfriend.
To visit. Yes, to visit. She was a girlfriend then. You know, coming to visit my granny's house. So at least I knew who this girlfriend was, you know, and I've always known her. We've always known her. And she was also famous, you know, in those days.
Absolutely.
And we'd see her on TV. So whenever she would come and visit, she would bring us gifts.
So were you a little bit starstruck by
her
as well?
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think my dad was not ready to have me come live with them in Joburg.
But
know?
He had no choice.
He was like, Fundi, my mom's name. Yeah, she can come, but, you know, it's like, yeah, she wants to go to school. She wants to study music. It's like, yeah, okay. You know, I don't have the money yet, you know. But I know she can sing. You know, she can just come get straight into it, you know, type of thing. And that's exactly what happened. So my mom, we took the bus, came to Joburg. He, sent a meter taxi to come and pick us up. He was there.
You and your mom?
Me and my mom.
Okay.
And then we went to his apartment. And, I was like, oh, okay. And he was like, yeah, here it is. You know, kind of trying to, I guess maybe he was hoping when I say, yeah, this is it. Okay. No, we're going back.
Yeah.
You know, my mom was like, no, it's fine. She's staying.
Perfect. Put a mattress on the floor.
Exactly.
She'll manage.
It's fine. She's staying, which I did. And my mom went back same day. And, yeah. So I was introduced, you know, to a couple of people. Annalene came home and, the following day she was like, okay, I have a session here and I have a session there. But your dad tells me you can sing already. So we're going to go. I remember my very first session accompanying Annalene the day after I arrived in Joburg, was with, Rebecca.
Malope.
You know,
you're kidding.
I promise you.
What an amazing start.
I know.
This is your first.
This is my
real singing experience in a career.
Yeah.
You're working with people like Annalena and with Rebecca. I mean, this is.
I know.
This is a dream come true.
Definitely. You know, so, but I was worried about, genre though. Because I've always been like an R&B soul type of singer. Uh-huh.
And they were doing gospel, right?
And how am I going to fit? Yeah. And it was not even American gospel where I could be like, oh, okay. Oh, well, yeah, I can do this. You know, because already I have kind of thrown myself into this American
like,
world of R&B.
That kind of thing, right?
Yeah. So I was a bit worried about that. And she said, no, it's okay. You'll be fine. Just follow the rest of us. And I did that. And, I remember feeling like a fraud because there were so many people and I'm like, I feel like I didn't do anything here. What did I do? There's so many people singing.
But that's also you probably knew deep down inside you were a solo singer and here
were
with a bunch of people and you thought, I need to be the one who makes a difference.
I guess so. Yeah. You know, I felt like a fraud when they paid me that to 1,200 rand, you know,
so
which
you,
was a lot.
Your first ever job was also your first paying job.
Yes.
And it was on a recording that we can still hear.
Yes.
If we go and
you
get...
You can't hear me.
No, but you're in there.
But I'm there.
You're in that recording.
Yes. I even remember the song.
First day on the job and you're in a recording.
Yeah. And
Sizonke, you can't possibly have a better way to go than this.
I know. I mean, Rebecca, I mean, I used to see her on TV, you know, from PE. I'm just from PE. And, you know, she had, you know, she was huge, you know, extremely huge in those days. I mean, she's still, you know, a big artist. But I mean, for a young girl from PE who had only seen her on TV, I was like, wow, now this is the life. And they paid me so much money. Who had given me 1,200 rands before?
I mean, you'd never seen that. You'd never seen that kind of
money. No, I'd never. No.
Did they give it to you in cash?
In cash.
Yo.
In cash. And I went and I bought toiletries that I had never even had before in my life.
Is that the first thing you bought?
Yes. You know, I had always been obsessed with smelling good. So.
Well, look at you. This morning you smell like a bouquet of roses. Yo.
Thanks, Garrett. So yeah, I bought a whole bunch of, you know, hand creams. I wanted to have beautiful hands. You know, I was coming from PE. I was a teenager, had never had hand creams before that I could keep in my own purse. You know, the only hand cream I would have was my mom's body lotion. You know, I would just use a little bit. Now I have my own hand cream.
Or Vaseline or that Ingram's camphor cream.
Mix it with a bit of Vaseline in your hand.
Yes.
Now I've got my own something beautiful hands, you know, and I've got, you know, perfume, I've got body lotion, I've got stuff, you know. My toiletry bag was something that I wish I could show everybody, like, look what's inside. Imagine the smallest things were like a big deal to me.
But then, you know, also when you start off like that, it creates expectations, right?
Yeah, of course.
So now you think every day is going to be like
that's
that.
Exactly.
Every day is going to be 1,200 rand,
and it wasn't.
There's no way.
It wasn't. I thought, okay, you know, certain people know my dad, certain people know Annalene. So what next? So I said, I need to find a proper job, a stable job. Even if it's in this, I need to do this. And I remember Annalene called Ringo, but Ringo.
Madlingos.
Yes. And I said, oh, my daughter is in town and she's got a great voice. You know, can you please, because they're both from Cape Town. So they know each other from Cape Town.
Right.
And, you know, but Ringo was like, ah, oh, no, I already have people, you know, that I work with and I've worked with for years. You know, sorry, maybe if somebody happens to leave, then I'll consider her. So it was really, really tough. You know, I thought, okay, calls are going to come in. I remember, Adeline had done a lot of work with, Buchiko Twala, you know, back in the day. And she even
called. Was he already producing like Mabr and the rest of them then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, this is like what, 97?
Sure.
97. I'm a young girl straight out of school, and, called Chico and said, listen, my girl is here. Can I bring her into studio? And, you know, he kind of like, said, okay, no, I'll let you know. You know, people are busy. Can't be telling me about some girl that I don't know. I've never heard her voice. Yeah. I know you, but you know.
And we know Chico Twala, this guy was not messing around.
No, he was not. He didn't have time to mess around, really. He was very busy. And sometimes parents have this thing of saying, you know, my child has a great voice, hoping that the relationship will get the child, you know, through the door.
At least in the room.
Exactly, yeah. You know. And I remember one time we happened to be at Electromode Studios. I forgot what they were called. CSR Studios. In Santon.
Okay.
And he was working out of there and he was recording a young female artist. And, myself and Annalene happened to, we didn't know he was there. You know, she was doing something there and he happened to be in the studio. He's like, oh, I've been looking for you. You know, here's my daughter. I've been telling you about her. And, he says, okay, no, come in. So this young woman is recording behind the glass.
Yeah.
And, he says to me, can you hear that song? I said, yeah. I said, can you hear the chorus? I said, yeah. Can you, okay, I need you to go in there and sing the chorus. I was so scared. I was shaking.
The first time you heard the song?
Yes.
First time you've been in a studio. With Chico Twala?
Yes.
For starters?
Yes, for starters.
Now you're there with Annalene as well,
exactly.
Watching you. And you have to impress.
And this girl that he's recording had the best voice ever. I was like, oh my God.
Do you know
goodness.
Who she was?
It turns out, I remember who she is now.
Yes.
But I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, come on.
I'm not going to tell you.
She a well-known singer?
No.
Okay.
No.
Did she make it in the industry?
In her own way.
You're being nice, so she obviously didn't.
Yeah.
Did you steal her job?
I'm always nice.
You took her job.
I didn't. Not at that moment. I didn't. You know what happened? So he says, listen to the chorus. Go sing the chorus.
Okay.
I felt that it was a terrible trap. It was a trap. I was expected to fail and I did. You know, you can feel when somebody wants you to fail, when somebody wants to prove a point to Aniline, that I knew it. I knew that you were bringing me something I couldn't work with. But I'm just, anyway, just go in there. Just get it done.
Now, let me show you that you're wrong.
Let me show you that you're wrong. So, and Aniline was wrong. You know, I go in there. I knew, I felt that he wanted me to fail. My voice was shaking in my throat. And I start to sing this chorus to the song. What happens? He bursts out laughing. And the girl. The girl is on the floor.
Oh, this
laughing
is horrible.
At me. I wanted to bawl my eyes. I wanted to cry my eyes out. I was so hurt. I thought, this is not for me. This is not for me. The girl was on the floor, like literally laughing, like, oh my goodness.
Well, I'm glad she failed. How dare she?
Well, maybe the reason why I didn't fail is because I let it go and I didn't wish her any bad. It just happened.
This is a thing that happens with people and then they never know how to deal with it. How do you pick yourself up after something humiliating like that? Where you're in front of really important people in the industry and you, you basically fall on your face.
Yeah.
How do you come back from that?
Wow. Look, there was a fire inside of me, man. I knew that my father, who had an amazing voice, was an amazing musician, was not misleading me by saying I have a good voice. I knew it. I knew that there's no way that this man who had worked with Simply Red would say to me as his daughter, you have a good voice, when he knew that I didn't, you know. But again, to Chico's defense, we ended up in his house because Aniline was friends with his wife at the time. Mm-hmm. So we went back to his house and he gave me another chance in his studio. And it was a better setup. You know, I think maybe he was not in a good mood. I don't even think he remembers this story. I'm sure if somebody was to say to him, oh, Zonke said you know, this and this and that on radio, he'd be like, please remind me because I don't remember this. But yeah, you know, we had a better session in his studio. He was calmer and, you know, things turned out well, even though I didn't, you know, end up recording with him any full track or an album. But that session in the studio, you know, it was so much better. He could hear that I could sing. And it's just that we just didn't keep in touch after that.
When did your dad die? He died a couple of years ago.
My father passed away in 2009.
Right. Now, you did that song, Viva Legend, for him, right?
Yes, yeah.
He was such an influence on you, despite the fact that for a lot of your life, he wasn't around physically. He was always present for you.
Yes.
When someone who's so influential is out of the picture, do you sometimes feel that you're on your own? Like that you, because in your family, I mean, you and he had a special bond because of the music and because you both had these amazing musical
and
careers.
Lulu. All of us, actually. And Lulu, my elder sister, Busi, who later became a lawyer, she started off singing.
She became a lawyer?
Yes.
Wow. Talk about a jump, huh? Normally it's the other way around. Lawyers.
No, we were Viva's trio. We were a trio.
Right.
My elder sister, Lulu and myself.
Right.
We used to sing. We used to, my uncle would call us to come and entertain his guests.
Like the Pointer Sisters.
Yes, like the Pointer Sisters.
Right.
You know, would sing songs like, you just call out my name.
Oh, what a song.
And you know, wherever I am, I'll come running. Yes, you
see
know.
You again.
See you again.
What a song. Who's so that again? See, that's not Karen Carpenter.
I forgot.
Winter, spring, summer, or fall. You just, you got a friend.
You got a friend. I forgot who it is.
Ah, you got a friend. Come on, look this up for me. This is important. I need to know.
So I used to sing
My
songs.
My dad used to love that song
songs
too.
Songs like that.
So when you sang songs like that, didn't it feel like you wanted to be in a group some of the time?
Of course. You know.
Especially if it was with your sisters.
No, I thought, you know, we're going to grow up and just be, you know, in a group together. But my two sisters, Lulu and Busi, were not just musicians. They were also academics.
Right. But you also studied, off. I mean, you studied
human resources.
Human resource
management.
Right.
But for me, because they went off to study law, both of them, Lulu and Busi, at Fort Hare University, I didn't want to be left out.
Happy 100th birthday to Fort Hare University
yes,
today.
Yes.
Their centenary.
Every time somebody says Fort Hare University, I think of my sisters because I would come and visit them there. You know, I spent most of my time there visiting them. So yeah, you do feel, you asked me if, somebody that is so influential, Don't you feel lonely?
Yeah.
You know, feel like you're left alone when they're not there. You mean now that they've passed or?
Yeah, now that your dad's not around for you to ask advice or to share your success with. I mean, he got to see you successful.
Yes.
Which is always great because I think a lot of people grow up and their parents die before they get a chance to see how amazing their children end up being. And he must have been very proud of
you.
All of you.
He was extremely proud of us. And it's funny, though, even though my dad wasn't really there to teach you this musically and teach you that, he taught us everything at the beginning. The stories he would tell us about music, his journey, and stories of sabotage, stories of whenever they would get on stage, now the sound would suddenly be bad. All the things, it's like he knew he wasn't going to be around to see me through my entire career. You know, those stories are still with me. Those are stories that make me not feel bad about being the kind of person, artist that I am, that stays out of sight. Mm. I don't feel bad about not being at each and every event. I really don't. Because those stories are still ringing in my ears that these are the kind of things that happen in the industry. Be careful of this, be careful of that, be careful. They still ring in my ears every single day. And I wish sometimes when I talk to kids, especially on the show like the X Factor that I used to do.
Right.
When you tell them these things, like, be careful. Don't go chasing things. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Stick to the rivers,
and the
lakes and rivers you used to. You know what I mean?
But it's also this question of like fame versus real success. I mean, fame is not success, right?
Yes.
But tell me what you feel about that.
I agree with you 100%. In South Africa, you can be famous, but you've got nothing to show for it. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, our audiences think fame is making it. Fame is success. The more they see you on TV, they see you at parties, they see you on red carpets, they think, oh my goodness, she's so made it.
Meanwhile, you get home and there's nothing in the fridge.
There's nothing. And that's not how it is. You don't have to, success is not, it's like real gold. It's not loud. Mm. Real success is not loud, you know, and I can sit here and say, I'm successful. I really am. I've been blessed. I'm happy. I live an amazing life, but I don't have to go out there and show people this and show people that. As a matter of fact, how I am, I feel because I'm always so out of sight. The minute I open my mouth to speak or when I endorse something, even if it's
coffee, more value.
It has more value because people know that she hardly ever goes, you know, posting herself everywhere.
This must be incredible.
This must
be
incredible if she's endorsing it.
You basically control supply and demand.
Exactly.
There's always got to be more demand than you supply. That way you'll never end up being boring.
Exactly.
Now, I think that's tremendous. How do you respond to social media and the pressures of having to put yourself out there to market albums and things? Because that's not your comfort zone.
You know, if I was speaking to somebody about this 2 days ago, and I said, if I was not a musician, if I didn't do what I do, I would not be on social media. But at the same time, I find that as much as people think fame is success, they know that Zonke is not everywhere. But at the same, they've got this, they do have respect for me. So I don't feel like
there's an understanding.
They they get what I'm about. And I think people before used to say, oh, you're not properly marketed. Your people are not doing their job because we don't. How come you were not here? How come you were not there? And I'm thinking, if only you knew. My people do as I say. It's my brand. I know what I'm doing. They understand me. They know that I don't want more than one cover a year or at least 2 years. Being on each and every cover, what am I talking about? I don't, it's not
you
like I have 10 million stories to tell. Yeah. I've got one story to tell and that's the story of my life. So if I'm on each and every cover, what am I saying?
Well, if we really want to hear your story, maybe we should do what you do when you want to hear what Sade's doing. Exactly. And that's read your lyrics. Pay attention to your music. Right?
You said it.
Yeah.
You said it. She's my inspiration. I see myself in her.
I think that's beautiful. By the way, the song we were looking for, You've Got a Friend, James Taylor or Carole King.
Oh, yes. There cool. Thank you.
So obviously with all of this music success, I mean, we've got, what, 4 albums? 5 albums?
We've got 5 albums.
Right.
The first album, I was with Culture Clan, the group.
That's right.
And then the first solo album, Solitary, was only released in Europe. Germany, Amsterdam, Italy, it never really...
That's such an interesting strategy because you spent time in Germany,
yes.
right?
Yes.
What, 4 years?
4 years. I started off with this group, Culture Clan. Mm-hmm. How I got into Culture Clan was through Annalene. Annalene introduced me to Leon Erasmus, who used to run a studio at Baseline.
Yes.
The back studio.
Okay.
Tall guy.
Yeah.
And Annalene used to do sessions with Leon. So the minute she introduced me to Leon, said, if I'm not around, you can use my daughter. She's got a great voice. So Leon heard me sing and felt like, oh, yeah, Annalene has an amazing voice, but you've got a more current type of feel to you.
Okay.
Much younger approach to things and a more R&B-ish type of thing that he felt would work for him a lot more. And he said to her, goodbye, I'm going to be using you, working with you. And she was fine. She was cool with it. So I ended up working with Leon, and he said, do you want me to manage you? And I said, yeah, why not? So we would do jingles and stuff like that. He put together a band for me, got me my first proper gig at the 7th All Africa Games. And that's when I performed there, you know, some covers and stuff like that, you know, with my band of old timers, you know, and performed at Miss South Africa, one of the Miss South Africa pageants in Sun City. And, you know, until eventually he said to me, I went to see this band. They're called Jazz Cantina. They're from Germany. They played Newtown. And I told them about you. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. It's like, well, you know, they have this sound that you like. And I said, what sound is that? Because I wanted to make sure that he understood me.
Yeah.
And he said, British soul. I love British soul. And I said, oh, okay. Now I'm interested. He says, yeah, I told them about you. They went back to Germany and I gave them, you know, our details. And they said they would send me some tracks. I thought that's not going to happen. Yeah.
You thought last we've heard of them.
Yeah, exactly. I think about a week or two later, he calls me and says, come listen to the song. Remember those German guys I told you about? They've sent music for you to do something. So they sent a beat, and I wrote Africa, My Motherland. Oh, and I was like, you know, I want to do something, you know, with clicks and stuff like that. I was like,
that's gorgeous. That is absolutely the sexiest thing I've seen in a long time. Wow.
So that was like the rapping part. And then they were like, Africa, all the way from Africa, you know? And they loved it. They loved it. Like, oh my goodness. But the only problem is that, what's that sound? You know, what are you, what kind of?
What language? What is
no,
that?
No, they didn't even say what language. They said, what software on, and what are you recording on and stuff like that? What are you using?
They couldn't believe those clicks were real.
No, they couldn't. They thought it was just distortion. They said there's a bit of distortion in the beginning, but we love her voice. He said, no, that's her language. It's Xhosa. Yeah. Those are called clicks.
God bless Xhosa.
They even went mad, like even more. You know, a month later, these guys were here with a film crew. They're following me around mobile studios, recording me.
And,
you know?
And next thing you know, you're spending 4 years in Germany.
In Germany, you know, performing everywhere. You know, they've got amazing festivals there, you know, and they call R&B or hip hop, they call it black music. It's the weirdest thing. You know, you go to a record bar and there's, you know those labels.
I would
labels?
Like some black music, please.
Yes, you know those labels where it's a jazz and it's a pop and then you get to hip hop and soul, it says black music.
In German?
In German. No, in English.
In English. Black music.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
You know, so we would do festivals like the South Music Festival.
Own that. I mean, that's kind of cool.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's cool. I wasn't mad at that.
That's a nice genre to own.
Exactly. It was great. You know, so we performed everywhere. And then the producer of Culture Clan offered me a deal. It says, I can record your solo album if you want. And I said, of course, you know. So, yeah, you know, recorded Solitary and got me a deal with Columbia Records.
Yep.
And, yeah, I was signed to Columbia for that album. And
Life, Love and Music, right?
And then I came back to Germany. I always had this need, you know, to come back home and do an album at home, because I felt like, yeah, this is great, you know, but I just want to be known at home, you know? But the challenge was that I was not familiar with what it is that South Africans liked. I wasn't too sure what it is that we liked. You know, you sometimes as an artist, which you shouldn't, you worry yourself about what people want. And that's not what it should be about.
I think we know what we like. I think that's part of the problem.
I always say that it's funny. People don't know what they want until you give it to them.
Correct.
And they're like, actually, I needed this. I didn't know. I didn't know, but I needed this. So I always say that as an artist, you cannot be asking people, what do you want me to do next? It's like a painter. A painter just paints. If you like, you buy. you know, he doesn't go around interviewing people. What would you like to hear from, to see from me
yeah,
next?
Yeah, how would you like
what
me
do you
to
want
paint?
Me to paint the next? It doesn't go like that. You know, so as Absolutely. With us as well, it shouldn't be like that. And I remember, and then I met Oskido through my sister Lulu. It was her meeting and she asked me to, accompany her. We went to that meeting. They liked both of us and they wanted us to be a duo. And we said, no, thank you.
Huh.
No, thanks.
You just knew it wasn't going to happen.
It wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to happen. And I mean, Kalawa was used to dealing with groups at the time. Mm. The only solo artist they had was Tebe. You know, they had Boomshaka, they had Bongo Muffin, they had, BOP, Alaska. You know what I mean? They were only dealing with groups. So I can understand their thinking that, oh, okay, maybe if we can just put you guys together, that would work. And we said no. And, my sister was working full time. She had a full time job. I stayed 10 minutes away from their studio in Galloman. I was living in Sunning Hill. And so I was always eager to be in studio. So whenever they would call to say something, can you guys come? There's a jingle. There's this. Can you come feature on this track?
You were always available.
I'm there. Yeah. I'm there. You know, call Lulu. No, you go. I'm at work.
Right.
You know, so that's how I ended up, featuring on Tebe's album, Groover's Prayer, which was kind of like an intro. You know,
to the
like,
local scene.
To the local scene. You know, everyone's like, who's this girl? Who is it? Who is she? What does she? It's funny. What does she look like? That was the
they
most.
That
was the question that was asked the most. You know, what does she look like? Does she look as good as she sound? You know?
But with all of the success and everything else, and I can't believe we're already at like 5 to 9. I thought we'd have lots of time this morning.
Time flies.
But, you're a good storyteller. What can I say?
Thank you.
The you did lose Lulu. She died in 2014.
Yes. She did.
That must have been tough for all three of you, huh?
Look.
That left.
No, well, I mean, there's two left now because the eldest sister died in 2013.
Oh, my God. So
you know,
only
she
you
passed
two,
away in 2013.
So only you two left.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, we have a lot of cousin brothers and cousin sisters, families, uncles.
Sure.
And, you know, there's still the rest of the family. So, but...
is your mom still around?
No, my mom passed away first in 2006.
So it really is just you two, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
And even though you're such a private individual, I mean, are you, you said you have a great life earlier.
Yeah.
Is there anything that still is burning inside, besides the fact that you want to improve on your successes you've already had? Is there anything burning inside of you that you really need, that you really want right now in your life? Because I'd imagine you feel very accomplished on a good day.
Yeah.
But then sometimes you probably want a little more.
Not accomplished in the sense that I could just sit down and do nothing.
No, sure.
I absolutely love what I do. It's my entire existence, you know?
So it's not in the bank balance. It's not in the result.
No.
It's in the performance.
It's in the performance. You know what I mean? It's got nothing to do, like you said, with money or cars and stuff like that. To me, that doesn't matter. You know, the fire is still there musically. I can't put my finger on it, what it is that I want to accomplish musically. I don't know if I'll even know when it's arrived. It's just that I want to continue doing music. I love what I do so much. And I also want to do what I've done for myself, for somebody else. So I found someone. And this is probably someone you know.
Tell me. You're not going to say his name.
He was on your show.
Who? Come on, help us out here.
Young man.
Yes.
He was not this show, the other show on TV.
On TV, on Idols?
Yes.
Is he a singer?
Yeah.
Who? Come on. Tell me, what's
this? Should I be telling you?
Yes, you can. Go on. You can tell us anything here. Stay safe.
Okay, I absolutely loved Loiso from PE.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So did you take him on?
So, yeah, we've been talking to him, and I think I can write great songs for him.
That's terrific.
Yeah, I mean, such a young man with
he's,
an amazing
I remember
voice.
Him well. I can see his face now.
Yes.
He's a very sort of cool, suave,
yes,
gentlemanly,
exactly,
well-mannered.
Such a
soft,
great
gentle
smile.
Dude.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
You know, that young man.
That Loiso.
Yes. Hmm. So that's the person that we've been chatting
to. So this is your protege.
Yes.
Very good. I can't wait to see what you do with him.
Me too. I think he'll do great, especially now that, you know, you hear our music all over the place in our country. So it's great.
Well, you know what, Zonke, what hasn't been said about how terrific you are and how amazing your career has been, and you haven't shown any reason in the world why everybody shouldn't be behind you every step of the way. It seems to me that there are some artists who just live for the music. You're one of those
people.
Yes,
I really, really do.
And we are very privileged to be able to live in a time where you're singing your songs.
Thank you so much. Thank
you. Very, very special stuff. I'm going to play one of your songs in a moment. We're going to wrap it up for this morning. That is the great Zonke Digan. And you can buy her new album, which is out. You can also obviously see her. Where are you performing next? Can we go and get tickets? Or are we doing any major shows?
On the 28th, I will be performing at the Africa Day concert, Newtown Park.
Oh, very good.
Yes. So that's where I'll be. And for the rest of my shows, you know, people can catch, you know, info on Instagram at Zonke Music, Twitter at Zonke Music, Facebook, Zonke Zoe Dikana. So, yeah. So info about my,
that's your middle name, Zoe.
Yes. So I'm ZZD.
Lovely.
And, yeah. So follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Zonke Music, and you'll get full information as to where I will be performing.
Thank you so much. And thank you for coming to speak to us this morning.
Thank you so much, Gareth. And you did mention that you were at, one of my shows.
I was.
You were there.
At the Lyric.
At the Lyric Theater, and you were the MC there. I was so privileged. I was so starstruck. I didn't even think he would say yes.
Are you kidding?
But you said yes.
I got this. I got an email invitation. Zonke saying, you know, we just want to know if maybe you'd want to come along and, you know, see the show. And then you said maybe MC it. And I thought, well, who would say no to you? Who could ever say no to you?
Oh, thank you so much. I love you.
Love you too. Thank you so much. All right, here's what you need to know, and then we'll give you a taste of Zonke to wrap it up for this morning. Spar Supermarkets standing firm on their no pajamas rule for customers visiting their stores. Store managers have repeated reports that people who urinate and masturbate in the stores are almost always the ones dressed in pajamas. When questioned on the subject, a spokesperson from Woolworths said they welcome people to shop in whatever sleepwear they like, provided they bought it from Woolworths and paid full price. In other news, after the success of the People versus O.J. Simpson show, it looks like Oscar Pistorius' murder story is going to go the same way and will be made into a series rather than a one-off feature. Hordes of young South African actors are queuing up for the prospect of playing Oscar, mostly because the one-dimensional nature of all the role players in real life means the actors portraying them in the story will need no acting experience or personality whatsoever. And finally, Muirfield in Scotland has again declined to accept women members into the golf club. After a vote where a two-thirds majority was not achieved, some members were questioned as to why they're still clinging to their only men status. The overwhelming reason stated was simply men hate their wives, and that the Eastern European waitresses at the club were a lot more pleasant to be around. We will see you on Monday. The team will be here. I'm off to San Francisco, so I'll see you in about a week's time. But we'll chat every day. And thank you to our guest this morning, Zonke. Thank you to Flex. Thank you to Ben. Thank you to you for being part of Peshitta. Thank you as well very much. And we will see you next week, right?
Yes,
you're
definitely
back again. Excellent. All right. And here is Zonke to wrap it up this morning. Thank you, everybody. Gas Comedy Podcast next. CliffCentral.com.